welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week. The main site is NewWorldNextWeek.com. That's where you can find past episodes, show notes, and how to get involved and how to submit your own stories using hashtag NewWorldNextWeek. James, we'll begin with, you know, like a flashback to the 90s. We can just put on some old Bill Hicks records, turn on the TV, and see the Bush crime family as they were all this last week as Poppy Bush turned 90 and parachuted out of a plane. And we can also watch another war in Iraq. Because as you noted earlier this week on Twitter, James, this is the real meaning of mission accomplished. Let's just get the baseline intro from CBS News. As Islamist militant group ISIS takes hold of Iraq, President Obama said on Friday the 13th that the mounting violence in Iraq should be a wake-up call for Iraq's leaders, committing the U.S. to help halt the advance of Islamist extremists, but saying that an ultimate resolution must come from Iraq's political leaders. In January, this group, now known as ISIS, even though their actual acronym should be ISIL, ISIS has much more kind of mythical weight to it. In January, they captured Fallujah, the regional hub just 40 miles west of Baghdad, raising fears of an incursion into the Iraqi capital. The fighting took another dramatic turn this past week when ISIS militants seized Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, and the heart of the Kurdish community in northern Iraq. James, some of the latest just coming in this day today as I come to you, June 18th. They've attacked Iraq's largest oil refinery, which, again, should cause question of who these attacks really benefit. But let's break it down with an article posted to Global Research that notes the U.S. was trained, or rather, the U.S. trained ISIS, I should say, at a secret Jordan base. Members of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIS, were trained in 2012 by U.S. instructors working at a secret base in Jordan, according to informed Jordanian officials. The official said dozens of ISIS members were trained at the time as part of covert aid to the insurgents targeting the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The official said the training was not meant to be used for any future campaign in Iraq, but the Jordanian officials also said ISIS members who received U.S. training to fight in Syria were first vetted for any links to extremist groups like Iraq. James, please help us break down this latest round of seemingly never-ending, decades-long war of aggression.
Well, that's exactly what this is about. It's about constant destabilization. And what I mean by this is the real mission accomplished is that this was the long-term plan of course, the PNAC crew, and even going back well before them, going back to the Oded Yunom plan, Israel has had Iraq in its crosshairs for a very long time, wanting to break it up, wanting to break up all of the different parts of the region into warring factions. And as we see the possibility of Iraq being split in an official sense now between Kurds, Shiites, and Sunnis, I think we are seeing the beginnings of the possibility of that. So some huge shifts that are taking place on the geopolitical table right now. I'm glad you pointed out that U.S. trained ISIS at Jordan base. I think that's a very important story. And that goes back to a story that Boiling Frogs Post broke back in November, December of 2011. And I actually did an interview at that time with an insider whistleblower who was talking about U.S. training at that Jordan military base. We got a lot of flack for that at the time. Oh, you're just making this up. Why should we trust you? It was confirmed a year later in the alt media, 2 years later in the MSM, even the Guardian and papers like that were talking about it. And now it comes out, oh yeah, they were training ISIS as well. So a very important little thread of that story right there. And of course, it's being framed in a lot of the media that's reporting on it as blowback. Oh, it's blowback. No, it's not blowback. It's the U.S. training these terrorists to be terrorists. That's exactly what the U.S. is doing. That's what they've done for a very long time. Let's not sugarcoat it or put a candy floss over it. Now, what I think is really happening here, in addition to the breakup of Iraq, we're seeing some huge swings on the geopolitical table and potentially ones with very large ramifications, including the fact that the U.S. and Iran are collaborating at the table right now because both of them do not want do not want ISIS to reach Baghdad or to overthrow the Iraqi government altogether. Obviously, the Shiites in Iran have a vested interest in making sure that the Wahhabist Sunni terrorists don't overrun the country. And the U.S., at least nominally, has to be on their side in all of this. Although Iran should be very careful about this, because if they don't understand that the U.S. is funding the Sunni terrorists as well, then they're just a bunch of dum-dums. But now we also have Saudi Arabia, of course, which is quite explicitly helping to fund and train ISIS, and our Wahhabists themselves. They obviously are tacitly and in some respects openly supporting ISIS, and thus are against the official U.S. policy. Yet another wedge between the U.S. and Saudis, which, as Saudi begins to develop its relations with China, I mean, this is becoming a very important shift that's going on right now, and some people are talking about this as the end of the petrodollar. I don't know if it's the end, but it might be the beginning of the beginning of the end, and that's going to be a very long process. In fact, the U.S. and Saudis just signed another $60 billion arms contract, their largest ever, so I'm not sure that wedge is going to be driven home quite yet, but it is forming, and that's extremely significant. So a lot is on the table right now, and of course this also brings in the possibility that we will see that Syrian intervention after all, because hey, ISIS was operating from there as well, so if you're going to send in troops anywhere, you might as well send them to Syria as well. So a lot is happening right now. We're going to have to keep our eyes on this story and follow the developments, because I think this is going to turn on a dime.
James, we will include links to that Boiling Frogs Post piece, as well as things to help flesh out, as you just did, the geopolitical scene. And unfortunately, that's not going to be the last time in this episode that we talk about the terror creation complex. However, let's move to our second story this week with another major piece of news that we gave reference to on previous episode of New World Next Week but didn't get into. James, now there's the perfect way to get into the Bo Bergdahl propaganda story, because wouldn't you know it, some of the same characters we've been following who help curate and code the culture and what the official stories are supposed to be. This comes from Variety. Bo Bergdahl movie project in the works from Kathryn Bigelow and Mark Boll. Zero Dark Thirty director Kathryn Bigelow and writer-producer Mark Boll are planning a movie based on recently released U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. The project would be produced through Mark Boll's recently launched Page One production company. Separately, Fox Searchlight has acquired the movie rights to America's Last Prisoner of War, written by the late Michael Hastings, whose story was published in 2012 by Rolling Stone magazine while Bergdahl was still a prisoner of the Taliban. Bo Bergdahl spent, this is the official story as we know it, Bo Bergdahl spent 5 years as a prisoner of war of the Taliban until his release on May 31st in a controversial exchange for five Taliban prisoners at the U.S. military facility in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The 28-year-old returned on June 13th, again Friday the 13th, to an Army medical facility in San Antonio. The Obama administration did not inform Congress of the release, despite the requirement of a 30-day notice of any transfers from Guantanamo. The administration has asserted that it ignored the requirement in the belief that Bergdahl's health was deteriorating. U.S. Special Operations Forces recovered Bergdahl at a helicopter pickup point in eastern Afghanistan. The Army has launched an investigation led by Major General Kenneth Dahl into Bergdahl's 2009 disappearance and capture in Afghanistan. James, we've covered Kathryn Bigelow, Mark Boll, and their pretty much exactly illegal amount of access to critical documents when it concerns the official end of the character known as Osama bin Laden, which gets turned into an Academy Award nominated film that Michelle Obama doesn't give the Oscar to. That she ends up giving it to a different CIA production. But again, it goes on, coming soon to a theater near you, James.
That's exactly right. Well, as much as I detest Bill Maher and his politics and everything he stands for, perhaps we can borrow his New Rules segment to create a new rule of our own. New rule: if Zero Dark Thirty and its producers or directors or anyone associated with that film is involved with another film about a historical subject or an ongoing political subject, chances are it's a psyop, and we should treat it as such. So Zero Dark Snow Job is going to be the veneration of that CIA NSA insider that snow job that's taking place. And now we have the Bo Bergdahl snow job, which is just a psyop of a different sort. And that's the way I place this Bergdahl story. This is complete psyop to keep people in the War on Terror narrative and to keep thinking about that. And I think it's feeding into something very, very worrying that I'm seeing developing, which is this new meme of the new 9/11. We've had Lindsey Graham and others coming out saying they're absolutely certain we're going to be struck. It's another 9/11. CBS News has headlines up like, will ISIS plan a 9/11 style terror plot against the US? They're definitely trying to ramp up the terror, the phony war on terror narrative again. Again, can you believe it? Because their plot in Eastern Europe with Ukraine didn't quite work as planned, so they're kind of dropping that narrative now and going back to their old standard. And I think that this Bo Bergdahl movie and all of that just feeds into that. Oh, they've released five terrorist masterminds. I wonder if they'll be involved in the next plot. And then we can all blame it on Obama and go back to some Republican government or something of that sort. A very, very worrying development. So we have to be out in front of this one and calling it for the BS that it is.
This all really plays into, James, here in the States, what you just referred to, that the phony political assignments. And this gets built up even more as we have this recent Benghazi arrest. And these, James, these are the sorts of things. So whether it's Benghazi or whether it's Bo Bergdahl, this is the real big kind of Fox News rabble talk radio that's getting the phony conversation going. I'm glad you reminded me of the fears of, are they planning a new 9/11? I'll include a link to my own snarky tweet that said, you know, is ISIS planning new 9/11 attacks? I don't know. Let's ask at CIA, who just officially joined Twitter in this past week, James. As we make a technology note, we will shift to our third and final segment this week on episode 197 of New World Next Week. As hockey fans in Los Angeles down a drone in a Stanley Cup frenzy. Several videos, James, posted online showing what has been described as hockey fans destroying a Los Angeles Police Department drone outside the Staples Center Friday the 13th night after the LA Kings won the NHL Stanley Cup. Riot police were called in to break up what the LA Times described as a melee outside the arena where the Kings' victory over the New York Rangers. In one of the clips posted, a drone can be seen hovering over the crowd of hockey fans before it's knocked out of the sky by people throwing shoes and clothing, chanting then, "We got the drone, we got the drone." But with no official response, James, no one can really confirm whether the drone in the video actually belonged to the LAPD, but Seattle Police Department did recently give the LAPD drones. However, the types that were given, a Dragonflyer X6, which is what Seattle gave LAPD, does not look like what is in this video. So one of the updates from this story, James, and I grabbed this text from Business Insider, a lot of folks suggest that it's called the DJI Phantom series. And what is that? That's a consumer drone. James, it looks like essentially a consumer drone was flying over just a regular old event that had lots of people around, and the crowd, for whatever reason, turned its rage upon it. Did they think it really was an LAPD drone that they wanted to take down? Or is this some kind of, you know, blow, you know, against the New World Order? I think, aside, James, from my own constantly running kind of sidebar comments about the jockocracy only being able to get it up and get excited about sports ball events, I think this is a fascinating story. So is this what is, we're going to see more of this in the future? James, is this going to be, you know, as the compact cities happen and they start to roll out the scoops or they start to roll out the drones, are people going to constantly attack them, thereby making them, I guess we'll have to arm them now?
That's a very serious question and a very good question, but first let me just say, as a good red-blooded Canadian boy, that of course it was the hockey fans in the States who took it down. Go Kings. Anyway, yes, this is, I mean, such an important story for what it portends and what we can imagine, what we can extrapolate from this, because of course this is just some harmless little whatever commercial drone or whatever it was, and they got taken down. Not a big deal in the scheme of things, but you really can imagine this extending out, and exactly as you say, I mean, if people are peacefully taking down a drone that's just hovering over them today, well, what's going to happen when the police start arming them, and oh well, we need crowd control drones and all of this. I mean, it is truly nightmare stuff. And I don't know about anyone else in the crowd, but I have shivers down my spine when I really think about that developing into the type of nightmare scenario that it can. And we've seen this, of course, with the Hollywood predictive programming through much of our lives. For those of us of a certain age, we've probably seen this many, many times enacted on the silver screen. So it's probably not hard to imagine this happening. And that's probably part of the point of that programming that we've been instilled with. So yes, this is it is a good thing that people are reacting that way to the drones, but I see the way this is going, and I think we need a more fundamental struggle against what's happening, because otherwise we are doomed to fall into a cycle that does not end in a happy way as the drones become more and more complex, more and more versatile, more and more able to win over to beat the crowds, and I don't want to see that reality come to pass, and I'm sure no one else does either, and it's a question of how we can overcome that programming and find a different way out of this nightmare.
James, a couple of other related drone notes. Crash in Vancouver, BC. A commercial drone crashed in downtown BC during the filming of a commercial, which has now actually launched a new review of how they're being used in industry. It's worth noting the number of drone permits issued in British Columbia annually went from 6 in 2007 to 178 last year. The other note, James, if you can handle the amount of catchy phrases and terms in here, Twitter takes selfies to the next level with drones. Twitter kicked off the Cannes Lions International Advertising Festival in southern France last Sunday by using drones to take Vine videos above the heads of Twitter employees and various attendees. The videos are actually kind of stunning looking, and they're being shared on a new Twitter account called @Droney. Having said that, James, a lot of folks submit great story ideas to us on Twitter using hashtag New World Next Week. This week is no exception. A lot of our best folks submitting stories like @BrockWest and Daz Alt Theory and Shane Pollock and Counterbalance T. Just some of the quick New World Next Week updates. Pepe Escobar on the geopolitics of the World Cup, as again, we've been tracking that story and how much like the Olympics or the Super Bowl or any of those things, pretty much the worst thing that can happen to your city. The Duchess of Cambridge, that's Kate Middleton, visits a top secret World War II spy school, you know, the one where her grandmother worked. Richard Rockefeller, the son of globalist David Rockefeller, dies at the age of 65 in a solo plane crash after celebrating David Rockefeller's 99th birthday last week. And James, we will close by coming full circle, bringing it back to the creation of terror. Again, this from @CounterbalanceT on Twitter. New research says 94% of all terrorist attacks are invented by the FBI. And there's lots of great info in there about Portland, Oregon's biggest invented terror event, the Christmas tree bomber from a few years ago, James.
And we should just ask people to look in the New World Next Week archives for the many, many, many times we've discussed that phenomenon in the past. All right, James, absolutely excellent stuff. Every single week you managed to bring stories that I didn't even see, had never even heard of, which is exactly why I'm working with you. Thank you again for all your hard work. Looking forward to it again next week.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Take care.